Morning show, Terry John sitting in. We'll get you ready for your weekend. Have some fun with our star of the day, Misty's Menu, and plenty of other great stuff. It's 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are the morning show on WFHR.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. History could be made today in the Tennessee legislature. CBS's Jim Krasula explains.
Gloria Johnson is one of three Democratic Tennessee state representatives facing possible expulsion today for protesting on the chamber floor for gun control.
I want to defend myself. I want to tell the people of this state what happened and why.
Cameron Sexton is speaker of the Republican-controlled body.
My opinion, they should be expelled.
It would be the first partisan state lawmaker expulsion in Tennessee history.
The rally followed the school shooting in Nashville, where six people died, including children. Severe weather has killed at least one person and landed another in the hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. Mayor Craig Greenberg.
It would not surprise us if in the days coming, the National Weather Service confirms that more than one tornado touched down across Jefferson County.
More than 10,000 people there don't have power. At least five people were killed in Missouri. The number of Americans filing for unemployment fell again this week. Bank Rates, Mark Hamrick.
The Labor Department says new claims for jobless benefits fell last week by 18,000 to 228,000. This level is still regarded to be historically low, reflecting a tight job market.
The government's monthly jobs report is due out tomorrow. A rust problem is now forcing Honda to recall more than 500,000 SUVs in some cold weather states. Jeff Gilbert reports.
The salt used to de-ice roads can cause the frames of some Honda CRVs to corrode. Honda's had 61 complaints. In some cases, the rear trailering arm can fall off. No injuries have been reported. No issues outside of the so-called salt belt. This impacts 07 to 2011 Honda CRVs.
New action now in one state on sports and transgender athletes. Here's CBS's Steve Kathan.
Kansas is banning transgender athletes from girls and women's sports from kindergarten through college. The Republican legislature overriding a third veto of the bill in 3 years from Democratic Governor Laura Kelly. 19 other states have similar bans. This is the first of what could be several new Kansas laws restricting the rights of transgender people in the state. A broad bathroom bill passed just the other day.
The Masters is now officially underway at Augusta National in Georgia. Jack Nicklaus with the ceremonial tee-off. Defending champ Scottie Scheffler aims to be the first player since Tiger Woods to win back-to-back green jackets. Tiger himself is set to tee off in just a few minutes. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 120 points, the NASDAQ down 50. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Dr. Stork. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious farm-fresh taste plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. With more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties. Classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it up on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough with the phones already. Put them down and pay attention, or pay the price. You drive, you text, you pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 42. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight, lows level off around 24. Chance for snow showers again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 48, partly cloudy. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow night.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this April 6th, 2023, 10:04 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we are going to be speaking with, we're going to be speaking with Anna James. Anna's going to join us. She is the Natural Resources Educator with UW Extension. Right now, in studio, we have with us Sharon Behrens. She is the Instructor, Business Technology over at Mid-State Technical College. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, James.
Thanks for being here. Yeah, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Looking forward to talking with you today. And I thought maybe we could start with a little bit of your origin story, a little bit of background, if you don't mind.
Sure. Let's see. My origin story, years ago, I did start in the field as an administrative assistant. I guess at the time the title was secretary. Mm. I can remember my first job was at a bank, worked with the president of the bank, and one of the first job duties was to make coffee. And I did not drink coffee. I had no clue how to make coffee.
Oh, no.
But I obviously learned that and many other things and had a love for, you know, computers, software, technology, and that grew into me pursuing further education and then ultimately landing as an instructor. And
cool.
I've been at Mid-State. This is actually my 15th year.
So. Wow, congratulations.
It's been a while, but I love it. So.
And thank you for giving to our community, you know, what like Mid-State does and all the instructors over there do. Let's get into a little bit of history, background on, you know, what we're talking about today.
Certainly. Well, as some people may know, toward the end of April is Administrative Professional Day, so mm-hmm. April 26th. Actually, the whole last week of April is sometimes celebrated as Administrative Professional Week. Mm. So this was something that was first recognized in 1952. Mm. So a lot of people over the years are choosing to recognize the integral people in the office, so mm-hmm. the people that assist and help, that sometimes are the right hand to you know, the executives, so that would be somebody in this administrative professional field.
We, certainly those in radio understand how vital and important that is. And here at WFHR, we know it better than most anybody because that lady out there, Pam, is literally the heart of this station. Yeah. Nothing, none of this gets done. We're not doing what we're doing right now without her.
She's been here a long, long time.
Yeah.
Since the 1970s, it sounds mm-hmm. like. So, yeah.
I don't believe, and I don't care. Anybody could fight me on this. I don't think WFHR lasts 80 some years without her.
Sure.
I genuinely believe that. I think that's how important she has been to this station. Just to speak to your point.
Thank you.
So first off, what is an administrative professional? Maybe we get into that to start things off.
Sure. Well, as I kind of alluded to, they mm-hmm. are sometimes, you know, the partner to an executive or an owner of a business. Normally they are keeping the office organized, helping with time management, just helping things run smoothly. Oftentimes they are the impromptu IT department, so mm-hmm. as soon as somebody can't get the computer to boot up or there's a question with how to do something with the software, they're the go-to person. So they kind of are jack of many, many trades, mm-hmm. but usually seen as invaluable, that most businesses don't rely heavily on their administrative professionals.
They also seem to be, and we've kind of touched on this a little bit too, I don't mean it in a mean way, but almost forgotten part sometimes. There's so much, most business, it's everything's moving so quickly, especially I think of our industry here where everything's time sensitive and it's constantly moving and moving and moving. And we get busy and get caught up. And I think we tend to, whether we mean it or not, take for granted some of the people that we have around us that help us do our job.
Sure. Yes, you're right. It can be easy to take someone for granted, but if they weren't there, there would be chaos, most likely. So, yeah, it is easy to think about everything's running smoothly, but, you know, if they take a vacation day or, heaven forbid, they're out sick, you notice.
We're preparing for her to take some break, and we're already freaking out.
Sure.
We're already trying to cover our bases and all these things, and she hasn't even left yet. She hasn't even done it. To your point, I think that when people look at this and in their own job and their own industry, taking a look at it and like, oh my gosh, you're right. Like, even if you do appreciate these people, it doesn't hurt to take a moment to really let that sink in. Or one of the things I always like to do is imagining without that person. Right. Where would you be? And that's scary to me. So I don't even like thinking about it. We do this thing on our morning show where we go through our national day of calendar and all the silly things. That, you know, today is pumpkin day or something like that. Some of them can be kind of silly. At the other side of it is things that help us bring attention to stuff that we don't always get attention to because it gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. So I really appreciate that you bring attention to this on April 26th, the National Administrative Professionals Day. That's cool. That'll give us a chance to not only hopefully appreciate, have some perspective, but also understand the job a little bit better. I think that goes a long way, too.
Certainly.
What opportunities are there for administrative professionals?
The nice thing is that you can work in any industry, any sector. So if someone is passionate and they want to work in healthcare, you know, that's an option. You can work in technology, you can work in manufacturing, you can work in education. You can be full-time, part-time. Nowadays, there's many, many opportunities to be virtual besides just being in person. So basically anything that you're interested in, there's probably a business that would love to have your talents.
I find that interesting, too. We've all kind of begun to adapt to that we can work from home for a lot of our jobs now. I wouldn't have been one of the jobs I would have thought of with this, but this is actually just doing a little prep for the interview and everything. I've actually got friends that are doing that, and I didn't even know. I hadn't caught up with some of them and everything. A lot of administrative work is being able to be done virtually nowadays.
Yes, exactly. You're managing someone's calendar, answering phone calls, scheduling meetings. Obviously, if you need someone to be like a receptionist and greet people face-to-face, you're going to want them in person. But
yeah.
Many of the tasks, if you've got projects, event planning, a lot of things can still be outsourced or, you know, have the person at least not be in the office every single day.
It feels like we're fine-tuning that job a little bit. And it's a case-by-case thing. Every business, every place is going to be a little different. But it does seem like there's a lot of jobs right now where we're just adding on to them and they're becoming bigger and bigger and more unrecognizable. A job like this, it seems like we're fine-tuning it more. And we're making it more like this is what this job is.
Right. I mean, and over the years, you know, way back when people would do shorthand and take down the notes or type up the letters and the reports, and people are getting more tech savvy and many executives are typing their own documents, but you still need someone to potentially fine tune it, proofread it. If there's, you know, some software feature you're not sure how to use, that's, you know, you ask your admin. But again, if you're an executive and you're traveling, you still need someone to help hold down the fort and, you know, maybe update you on what's going on in the office, any issues, any problems, those types of things. So, yeah, it is evolving.
I want to get into the skills needed in this profession, but if you don't mind, just real quick. Sharon, it sounds like as we're going more forward with this and we're getting more tech savvy and all these things, that we're going to need both worlds. Where, you know, yes, the tech world can take care of scheduling and some things and everything, but we still want that personal touch. We still need that person, if you can, if needed, in the building, if not at least in present.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't foresee that the administrative professional is going to be replaced by technology, but obviously they're going to, you know, learn to utilize, you know, these new high-tech tools that are coming out, and they may cut some time down on some of the tasks that are performed, but I think that you're still going to need someone there to perform so many different things.
Robots are not taking over yet.
Not yet.
Sharon Behrens, instructor, business technology of Mid-State Technical College, joining us, and we've been talking about administrative professionals. Now, what skills are needed in this profession?
Well, I think the first thing is most people in the profession like to help other people. So if you feel like you are helpful in nature, if you are organized, if you have good time management skills, communication is essential. But besides the technical skills of using computers and technology, there's what we call soft skills. So I think this would be any industry. You're looking for somebody that is dependable, that, you know, shows up when they're supposed to. If you ask them to finish a project in time for a deadline, you know, they follow through, accountability, team player, those types of things. So it's the technical skills, but it's also the soft skills.
as we are introducing more and more technology into the field, there are people like yourself, like Pam, who have been in this industry for a very long time, and melding those two worlds. It's not easy to do, but it is doable. And I have to just take a moment and admire so much the growth of people that have stayed in the industry and have learned to grow with that technology. I tell Pam almost every day, if I don't, I need to tell her every day how much I admire that, because a lot of people could, and we've seen a lot of people maybe leave the industry and go into another field or something like that. If you love it, if it's your passion to do this for a living, I like the idea of people growing with the industry. It's pretty unique to see, but it's also, I don't make light of it either. I hope that those in the field, when it comes to this stuff, are able to have some empathy and some understanding, give some grace when it comes to that. It's not an overnight thing. And I know 18-year-olds that have trouble with technology. So it's not an age thing or anything like that. What opportunities are there to gain these skills at Midstate?
Great question. So if anybody is looking to kind of start their career, or if you've already been in a role and you're just looking to upgrade your skills, we have so many things to offer at Midstate. We have what we call a career pathway. So I am the full-time administrative professional office support specialist instructor, and then I also oversee what's called our customer relationship professional program. So as a for instance, if someone is just starting out and not quite sure what they're interested in, you can start with that customer relationship professional program. It's a one semester, four classes. It's a technical diploma, so you know that's a good entry point. When you're done with that technical diploma, you know, you can certainly get a job at any of the many industries in our area that, you know, need wonderful people to perform customer mm-hmm. service. Mm-hmm. If you decide then that you want to continue on, you can go for the office support specialist, which is a one-year technical diploma. Mm. And then you could also then continue on for the two-year administrative professional associate degree. Mm. The majority of classes right now are set up as 8 weeks. And the idea of that is that instead of one class taking an entire 16 weeks, you could do two classes that are 8 weeks each. So then in one semester, you will have only focused on one class at a time, but you will have now earned two classes worth of credits. So most likely 3 credits for each class. The program is fully online, so that is very nice that you can fit it into your schedule. So if you are working full-time during the day and you want to learn some new skills in the evening, or you know, depending on your situation, if you've got children at home, whatever you're doing, it is possible to still do this online. And even though it's online, it's not it doesn't have a personal touch. I video conference with my students on a regular basis. Part of that is a skill that people need to practice and get good at, because when you're in the field, most likely you will be setting up a lot of virtual meetings. So we practice the skills, but it's a great way to build rapport with students. I get to meet a lot of times their children, see their pets, meet significant others. But it's great that I can then work one-on-one with someone. You can share your computer screen. So if you're trying to do a project and, you know, kind of just at a point where you need some help, you're stuck, I can see what you're doing. I can help you. And I find that the students, once that they've met with me a few times, they're not afraid to reach out. And it's real easy to just, hey, can we connect online for a few minutes, or I should say virtually for a few minutes, and it's easy to answer questions and help solve any issues.
I appreciate you sharing that. I think it's, for one, it's really cool that you could take that extra step to make that bond with your students, even virtually, because it can be difficult. I also like the idea that it's a lesson inside the class, kind of, because that is part of what you're going to school for with this. And I do this every time you guys join us from Midstate. I have to stress this. They make it hard for you not to want to continue your education. There's no excuses. Like, there's anybody who was looking for excuses or to prolong it or anything, like, don't look at Midstate, because you don't have them. Like, they work so well with people. Think about because I think we skate past this sometimes when we have Midstate, people join us. This course load and the time that you will be spending at Midstate for this course load, it's efficient. It's smart. And with that, I think of, well, that's a person who is that much quicker able to get into the world, into the business world, and be able to start making money off of that degree, which is what a lot of this is about. And being able to start their lives and everything. Like, you're that much quicker to be able to do it while getting the same education and the same information that you need to be able to pursue it from anywhere else. Like, it, Mid State just really has this, like, down. They really know what they're doing with this.
Thank you.
When it comes to what is important to know about Mid-State's administrative professional program, what are some of the highlights? What are some of the headlines we should make sure people understand?
Well, basically, I do a lot of projects in my courses, so I'm not big on a multiple choice test or something to that effect.
Oh, that'd have been rough for me. Yeah, I always needed that D at the bottom, all the above.
So I like to do real world projects. So anything that you're doing as an assignment is something that ultimately you would potentially be doing in an office setting. So it's real world hands-on learning. One of the components, if you are going for the actual 2-year associate degree program, is we do have a 72-hour internship. So students will find a position working in an office setting for a minimum of 72 hours, and over the years, there's many, many employers that reach out to me. They're always looking for people, hey, do you have an intern that we can use? And then oftentimes they're so impressed with the skills that the intern has that they will then offer them, permanent employment. So
nice.
That's been enjoyable for me to see over the years. I've been around long enough now that I have made a number of connections, in our communities. And, it's fun for me to see someone that has taken the skills and maybe wasn't quite as confident, but then once they do the internship, that really helps build their confidence. And then many students have kept in touch with me over the years, and they'll send me Christmas cards or update me. Just had a recent graduate reach out to me. She had been at one job, got a promotion, has since switched jobs, and then she already has a promotion after like 2 weeks on the new job.
Nice.
Kind of fun to keep up with people and hear what's going on.
The follow-up stories. You've had quite a few students over the years. You probably don't get a lot of follow-ups for all of them. So when you can get them, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. Yes.
The internship too, and I have to mention, I've only done one internship, but it changed my whole life, changed my career. Like, couldn't imagine my life without it. It's one of those great things that we offer for young people that, yes, it can add to a college resume or can certainly help on your work resume and those things. But the life experiences that can happen from those things and the opportunities, you make a great point about so many of your interns going from intern to, getting a paycheck. That's pretty darn cool. And being able to offer that, it's the thing that I think of, again, with Mid-State all the time. You go from putting that tassel over and graduating right into punching a card and punching in. Like, you go right, it's seamless. And the connections that Mid-State has, you just mentioned you've made some connections, and that's just you, let alone every other professor and every, just Mid-State in general has so many connections in this area. And wherever you find a Mid-State.
Right.
What if someone wants to enroll and can't afford it? This is one of the things I love talking with you guys about, too.
Oh, definitely. I'd say the first step for anyone trying to apply and looking for some financial assistance would be that free application for federal student aid, the FAFSA form. Mm-hmm. And then there is an option on that form that students can choose work study. So as a, for instance, for the students in my program, some employers are willing to pay, but if a student is looking for an internship position and the employer is not at the point that they can pay, that's a great opportunity. We try to utilize some of the work study funds, and then the student is gaining that real world experience and getting some money, so that helps pay for school. We do have scholarships, of course. The window is going to be open here pretty quickly, so if anyone is looking to attend Mid-State in fall of 2023, if you go to mstc.edu/scholarships, April 17th to May 26th is our window right now to apply for scholarships. So if you're looking for next fall, pretty soon you can apply for help that way. We do have a lot of grant funding. We do things like an emergency grant if a student is enrolled in classes, but something comes up, the car breaks down, and they just don't have the money to repair it, but that's going to impede them from coming to class. There are some funds available for that. But speaking of transportation, we do now have a shuttle service that goes between the different campus locations, so that's a great option. We even have what we call emergency food shelf, where, you know, if you're on campus and you didn't bring your lunch and you're hungry, you know, grab something to eat. But, you know, if you, you know, need something, you know, to tide you over the rest of the week until your paycheck comes or whatever the case may be, you know, you're certainly welcome to help yourself. There's hygiene products. It's not just food, but you know, many, many things. So we try to think of everything we can to, you know, assist people. We do have, you know, counselors. We have the academic advisors that have a pretty close relationship with the students as they're completing the program. You know, obviously, I'm a resource, so we do everything we can to, you know, find ways to help people be successful and afford school and not need to quit before they meet their goals.
There's a lot of ways to give back to your community. I genuinely feel this is one of the greatest things that Mid-State does. And that's saying something because there's a lot of good stuff that Mid-State does. But being able to help people more times than not, especially when I think about my age and people of my generation and stuff like that, it held them back. Money held them back, or they didn't even look into it, like, because I know I can't afford it or whatever. And we're just, I'm thinking of these next generations, so much of that, we're getting rid of that. We're making that not a stigma. We're making that not a thing anymore. And a big part to thank Mid-State and that kind of thing. Again, you have no excuse not to continue your education. You have no excuse not to join them and stuff. They make it easy for you in many ways and help in many ways. It's so appreciated. And it goes above and beyond, I think, even more than we realize. You've done a great job here, Sharon. You've convinced me. I'm going to drop radio, and I want to get into this field. It may be a little late in the game in my 40s, but I'm going to give it a shot.
You're never too old. I had a grandmother and her granddaughter in classes at the same time.
Nice. Nice. See? Okay. So I'll be in class soon. But what are some extracurricular activities available to students like myself and everything that want to learn so I can get to, I need some help going.
Sure.
I'm just getting into the game now. So.
Well, you mentioned extracurriculars. So that is a good point. We have many clubs and organizations that students can join while they are taking classes. I happen to be the advisor for a local chapter of Business Professionals of America. So any student enrolled in one credit who has an interest at all in business is welcome to join our club. So again, that's Business Professionals of America, or BPA. It's a good opportunity to take on a leadership role if you're interested. You could become an officer. You can help us plan events, community service activities. But the fun part is that we have some state and national competitions. And probably for the last several years, my students have been making me so proud. Yeah. They have been winning these awards left and right. We are about to go to Anaheim, California at the end of April.
Cool.
And a couple students will be competing there. So I have no doubt that they will represent Mid-State well. And whether they come home with, you know, first place or, you know, third place or even no place, that's fine. But, you know, it's the experience. It's, you know, the growth that looks wonderful on a resume. So many opportunities like that available throughout the college. I also happen to belong to what's called the International Association of Administrative Professionals. So, you know, it's a professional organization, and I do share a lot of the resources and information that I gain with my students. So lots of opportunities to continue to grow.
I don't know if the audience can hear it. I can see it. And this happens with every person that joins us from Mid-State. There's a moment in the interview where you're talking about something and the passion comes out. And there it was. I heard it throughout the interview here, but right there, I could see that pride and that love for that, not only your students, but this field and everything. And I it never gets old to me. That's really cool. Sharon, if people want to know more about this or how to be an administrative professional, be a part of this program, where can we send them?
Okay, your best first step is going to be go to mstc.edu/programs, or you're welcome to call Student Services at 888-575-6782.
Sharon, we really have appreciated the time today. Had a great time talking with you. If people want to get in contact with you, is there a way we can send them to, or should just send them right to there?
I can give you my email address. It would be, I'll say it and then I'll spell it, sharon.barons@mstc.edu. So Sharon, Sharon, dot Barons, B as in boy, Ehren, S as in Sam, at mstc.edu.
Fantastic. Really good to meet you, Sharon. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
What's that smell? You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett septic pumper trucks come a-rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Hoo-wee! They sure do a good job keeping your system clean, and Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta-potty rentals, too. Just give them a call, 715-712-3456. Tell them Crust Buster Crockett sent you.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
What is a Moravian? Someone who seeks to love God through Jesus Christ and love others. Someone who tries to live out their faith every day. At the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, our mission is sharing Christ, serving others. One of the ways we are serving is to provide a place for the Wisconsin Rapids Winter's Farmers Market, a weekly celebration of crafts, treats, and amazing people brought together to share their handiwork and passions with you each Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. through April 29th. We invite you to come check it out. All are welcome.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 42. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight, lows level off around 24. Chance for snow showers again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 48, partly cloudy. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this April 6th, 2023. 10:32 on the clock, and you have your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined right now by Anna James, Natural Resources Educator with UW Extension. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, James.
Good to see you again.
You as well.
And you brought a friend in with you.
I did.
We have Golong Liang with us. Am I saying that right?
Yes, Golong Liang.
Yeah. Liang. Oh, thank you.
There you go.
thank you for being here. Nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Anna, we got a lot to talk about today. I want to get out of your way and let you do your thing. We want to talk about water and its connection to agriculture and the shoreline's properties today. Mm-hmm. So how are agriculture and water connected?
I guess I'll start.
You can take that? All right.
Yeah, by talking about, like, let's think about what kind of fresh water do we have in nature in our ecosystem. So water in nature usually comes from rainwater. We have surface water and also groundwater. And it's interesting that we're talking about it right now in Wisconsin Rapids because water is an essential resource for
and the river is so high right now.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And today I think I'll focus on my topics on how agriculture interacts with water, and Anna can talk more about shoreline properties.
Excellent. What are shoreline properties and water connection?
Yeah. So shoreline properties are, you know, those lots that are butting up right to the surface water, which could be a lake, stream, or a river. So we see quite a few of those, you know, locally and around Wisconsin. And those properties impact or are connected to water, specifically more of the surface water resources, because they provide immediate access, right, to those water for recreational activities like swimming, fishing, boating, etc. And shoreline properties are also part of the lake's ecosystem. So on that land, you have aquatic, water, plants, animals, etc. And you also have terrestrial, which are land dwelling plants and animals. So it's, you know, those properties are just connected to the ecosystem as a whole. But shorelines also have a direct impact to water quality because of their close proximity to the source, to the water. So
it's important to understand all this, especially as we're there is nobody I can have in from Morning Magazine and water quality doesn't come up. I could be talking to a clown and water quality will come up. It's that important, and it's that intertwined in everything we do. Understanding the science, the connections that take place, I think help us going forward with this. So I really appreciate the breakdown from you guys. But what are some of the impacts that agriculture has on water, especially here in central Wisconsin?
Yes, so I talked briefly about how agriculture and water are connected, and here in Wisconsin, agriculture in general is supported by irrigation, and irrigation a lot of the times draws water from below our soil surface, which is groundwater, and so that makes groundwater a valuable resource for our agriculture, and it's important to maintain the water quantity as well as quality. And today we'll focus on the discussion of quality for the sake of our time. But I think it's important to let us sort of get a framework of about the agriculture within central Wisconsin. What are we growing, right? So central Wisconsin is actually a hot hub in terms of commercial vegetable production. So we're talking potatoes, sweet corn, snap beans, and all sorts of smaller market
specialty crops
that we're thinking about that we all enjoy in our dinner tables, and there can be issues though that coming with the large commercial vegetable production in terms of water quality,
right?
And that is mostly because in order to grow a successful crop in the vegetable production systems, you would need a large amount of commercial fertilizers to maintain that crop success. So, one of the major fertilizers that we're applying in the fields are is nitrogen fertilizer. And nitrogen is like it's a key element for crop growth to maintain a good yield in terms of that that final harvest. But an excessive amount of it, just like anything, right, is not good for the environment. So it will actually go through a process called nitrogen leaching, where it basically travels through the soil profile into the groundwater.
If it's not used by the plants.
If it's not used by the plants. So we need to be really careful about the amount and the approach about how we apply nitrogen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, especially when we talk about central Wisconsin, that excess nutrients, specifically in, you know, vegetable production, is important because we have those sandy soils, which lead to, you know, more leaching within just because of the properties of the soil, right? Things move really quickly through sand. But then we also have really shallow groundwater tables, which means there's less time for nutrients in that water to filter before they actually hit our groundwater resources, which is drinking water, right? Yeah.
A quick way that I try to get people to, you know, kind of listen in on these conversations. Our bodies are 60% water. Our earth, I believe, is 80% water or something like that, 70 somewhere around there. You wouldn't treat your body, you know, just throwing anything in there. You wouldn't just do that. You wouldn't, well, you know, I need this, so I'm just going to do this. You know that this is going to, well, if I take this, it's going to have a bad effect on my body or whatever. You got to treat the earth the same way. We can't just be doing these things, just throwing stuff into the soil and expecting nothing to happen just because you can't see it. It's a connection that I try to do to try to bring some empathy to people and get them to care about this stuff.
Yeah. And you know, too, thinking about it, it's like those nutrients that are added are so that the producers can produce a viable crop, and those are food crops, right? Those are things that are also feeding our bodies. Those are also things that are, you know, it's just a unique system where it is literally food production instead of your just corn or soybean production.
To something Golong was talking about before, agriculture, especially here in central Wisconsin, is so vital and so important. Mm-hmm. We need all these worlds to work together and to mm-hmm. figure this out. We can't afford to hurt our ag industry, our farmers, or anything like that. Nobody wants to do mm-hmm. that. We also don't want anybody not to have good water to drink and be able to take a shower or anything mm-hmm. like that. So making this work, it literally, we have to figure this out. We have to make this right. Otherwise, this state becomes a tumbleweed. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be over dramatic about it or anything, but that's where you could end up if you don't take care of these things now. We, you know, should have been working about this 50 years ago. We're trying to make up for lost time on some of this stuff. So these worlds, sharing information, connecting, and we're seeing a lot of that now with farmers yeah. and that and everything. But it's important going forward. And again, having this information is really helpful, you two. I appreciate both of you being here. What are some impacts that shoreline properties have on water?
Yeah, so shoreline properties, there's can be positives to them and some downsides, right? Just like anything else, when we talk about its connection to water quality, shoreline properties, especially in this area, I mean, we see large amounts of impervious surfaces, which, you know, are the hard surfaces that are man-made, like rooftops, driveways, or patios, and those change the effects of precipitation if not managed correctly. Mm-hmm. So if you have a shoreline property and you've got a ton of driveway space or, you know, a large patio space in the back, and you don't have anywhere for that water to run through a natural system, it just increases the flow of that water directly mm. to the lake or directly to the stream, right? And when you have a home, what else do you need? Probably a septic system, yeah, right? Yeah. And those septic systems are right next to the lake. And so if those septic systems are not managed well or are not routinely maintained and upkept, and if they're faulty, some of the excess effluent, et cetera, can leach into either your groundwater resources or your surface water resources. Mm-hmm. And those can contain, you know, things that are not good to get in our water resources and excess nutrients, right? Mm-hmm. Which can lead to things such as algal blooms. I know mm-hmm. we see those around here quite a bit, blue mm-hmm. green algae blooms. And you know, that's not just from septic systems. There's a lot that play into it, but it's something to be mindful of. When I don't know how you guys feel about, you know, your typical lakefront property, but mm-hmm. when you see a picture in your mind, what do you see on a lakefront property? Mm-hmm. Is it natural mm-hmm. or is it nice cut green grasses with nice, you know, manicured lawns?
Right, yeah.
And generally that's what it is, right? That's the perceived thing that everybody mm-hmm. has in their head when you view a nice home, yeah. right? And so if we think about what it takes to get that grass, especially in the Central Sands, that green and that mm-hmm. manicured, it's a lot of fertilizer. It's a lot of excess fertilizer. Yeah. So, you know, if that fertilizer is not applied at the right time or the right rate, we talk about that in agricultural systems as well, you know, there's nothing keeping that excess from going into the streams. Mm. You know, when you're building a home or any kind of construction on a lakefront or a lakeshore, you're turning up the soil. And if you don't have fencing, silt fencing in place, or something that will trap any of that soil from getting into the water, you can actually increase sedimentation, which is, you know, any kind of particles, mainly soil that mm-hmm. that gets into the water, and that carries nutrients as well. But there's also positive impacts, right? We don't want to just focus on the negative. The positive impacts to shoreline properties is, if maintained well, and I touched on this before, they can be a beneficial part of the ecosystem. Yeah. You can manage your lakefront property to have a buffer of native plants that filter out any of that excess mm-hmm. nutrients coming off of those impervious surfaces or, you know, any kind of fertilizers, making sure if you are fertilizing your lawn, you're doing it hopefully without phosphorus and you're doing it at the right rate, you know, and it's okay for there to be weeds because a lot of the times they're native, right? Mm-hmm. Those native plants mm-hmm. are gorgeous, and they're providing habitat back to the wildlife, back to the fisheries. I mean, it's a whole ecosystem. If you think about having native plants along your shoreline, you're providing insect habitat. Insect mm-hmm. habitat then leads to pollination mm-hmm. for your gardens or, you know, for our food. Mm-hmm. And insects also lead to fish food as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you're an angler, if you're a fisherman, you need to be thinking about that. If you live on a lakefront property, how are you going to best manage your shoreline, your property, to benefit the lake that you live on or the water that you live on?
And I think that's stuff that maybe there you don't know that off the top of your head, mm-hmm. and you want more information on that or something. There's a lot of resources out there. There's a lot of places you can go for that information.
Yeah. The Wisconsin DNR they've got a couple of really great resources for shoreline property owners, and you can find them all on their website if you just go to Wisconsin DNR. I think it's wisconsindnr.gov, and in the search bar, just Google maintaining shoreline properties, and they've got tons and tons of resources. But you know, I don't want to monopolize the conversation shoreline properties, but yeah, there's a lot of great resources out there, and like you said, it's just not something that comes to the top of your head, and it's not something that you just generally think about. You know, you have the lake and it's beautiful and you want to utilize it. So
maybe we can talk some more about this. We'll definitely have some more conversation when we come back on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up. That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon with highs around 42. West winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy tonight. Chance for snow showers. Lows around 24. Chance for snow showers again tomorrow. 48. Partly cloudy skies. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 33.
Welcome back, Morning Magazine, here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 10:47 on the clock. We are speaking with Anna James and Golong Liang. I want to make sure to get this right before
second
you leave, man.
Second try is usually better than the first try. Usually, yeah.
And as always, you can mess up my last name all you want. I appreciate you guys being here today, especially talking about such an important topic, water quality and how it connects to agriculture and getting into that more and giving people more, I think, removing some of the gray area and giving a little more fact and detail to some of this. There's a couple of directions we can go here with the last 10 so minutes and everything, but one thing I wanted to go back to when we were talking about the impacts that agriculture has on water, especially here in central Wisconsin, there's access and rights that come with water responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually a thing that, at least within the universities, we've been talking about, like, what kind of responsibility that comes with the access that we all have to the water that mm-hmm. we're surrounded by, because they're so valuable to every single home, right? It's so valuable to every single individual to have access to clean, good water. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking in terms of agriculture. specifically in the commercial vegetable production context, there are a lot of good work that has been done here in central Wisconsin from the farmer's perspective to build conservation practices into their operations, mm-hmm. such as cover cropping or no-till. We can go into the terminologies mm-hmm. later, but it's basically trying to protect the amount of nutrients into the root zone so that they don't leach to the groundwater as much as we would expect. Mm-hmm. So we are essentially fighting an uphill battle because we live on top of sandy soils, but that doesn't mean that we're giving up. It's a battle that we are fighting as a community, and it's not only within the agricultural community, but also, like Anna said, with the lakeshore home mm-hmm. property owners. I think a lot of the times people think conversations are siloed because of the communities and all the backgrounds that have mm-hmm. been going into it, but that doesn't have to be the case. I believe in order to get better water, to get cleaner water, people from different sides needs to be in the same room to have honest yes. conversations about yeah. about what can I do, what mm-hmm. can I contribute to the community, and instead of pointing fingers, that will actually lead us to a better place collectively.
Yeah, and thinking about, you know, some of the agricultural producers, and you touched on the conservation practices, and I know, James, you and I have talked about this before, but some of those producers are being the innovators mm-hmm. for these new practices. They're not afraid to try a new thing, to see if it benefits mm-hmm. the water quality, to see if it reduces their impacts. So they are taking responsibility, right?
Yes.
And I think as a community, it's important for all of us to take our responsibility for our own actions, just in general life, right?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
super
yes.
important
yes.
To take responsibility for our actions. But when it's a shared resource like water, that importance and that community approach is key.
It's almost vital.
Yeah.
In fact, it is, really, because it doesn't matter if we're doing our thing here if the people the town next over isn't. It's, mm-hmm. again, all connected. We've all got to kind of work on this. And I appreciate the notes about the ag industry and the farmers and how hard they have worked on this and worked to make this better. They get it. They understand this. You don't have to convince a farmer how important water quality is or how important how like everything is connected. They get it on a level some of us will never understand.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me back to a conversation with Rachel when I was first talking with her, because this is a new world to me. I don't understand mm-hmm. a whole lot of it, but the idea of technology in farming, I'd never thought about that
yeah.
and how much of that goes. And I immediately thought, well, I bet that there's some pushback on this. No. Almost every single farmer you can think of is all in on tech and all that, and they're very engaged with it and everything. They're very open. They're some of the most adaptable people you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to making these changes or doing these things, it's not surprising to me that they're leading the forefront on it. But I also think that that's like a lot of things when it comes to our farmers, this is where the rest of us take a chance to step up. This mm-hmm. water responsibility falls on literally everybody. Like, mm-hmm. there's nobody who skates by on this one. Unless you are somebody who never uses water.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose if there's that one person out there, which, by the way, take a shower.
Yeah.
Please take a shower.
You didn't say it. I was going to.
Yeah. But we all need this. So it's that important. It's that vital. The uphill battle is an interesting thing to me. I got a lot of friends I have some friends in the Florida area, and they joke about this all the time, that there's no land to build, but they just keep building on marshes and things that you should not put a building on top of. But they keep doing that. You look in Chicago, how they reverse the river. There's things we've done like this throughout our history as humans in this country of adapting, controlled burning, another thing like that. We've shown we can adapt. We've mm-hmm. shown that we can not only adapt, but work with the world, work with the planet. I think for too long, we are working against it.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to do these things like in Florida, building on stuff we shouldn't build on and all that. I feel as a society, and especially talking to you guys and talking to others, we're getting better at, no, let me work with the earth. Let
yeah.
me work with it instead of like trying to force our thing on it.
Well, and it's funny you bring that up, because I think about that quite often, right? Nature, we learn this. I mean, at least I have learned this. Nature is not uniform.
Mm.
Nature, it does its own thing. It's a beautiful growing system that is going to grow the way you want it to grow, that it wants to grow,
mm-hmm.
not the way that, you know, people like to put things in a box, right?
That, yeah.
That's just our nature, that,
yeah.
you know, people like to label things. We like to put things in a box. We like to have it uniform,
mm-hmm.
right? That's our nature. But nature is not that way. The natural world is not that way. So how are we going to take, like you said, responsibility for our actions and identify, you know, especially with the climate changing the way that it is, right? How are we going to say, yes, we are impacting our ecosystems in a way that is negative, right? In a way that is harmful. But we also have to look at the upside that a lot of the things that we are learning is also impacting it in a positive way. And so it's like, which approach are you going to take? Are you going to take, you know, that doomsday approach to it? Or are you just going to have that light that's like, yes, I'm going to do something and I'm going to make that change, right? I would like to make that change to make sure that my kids, my kids' kids have this natural world to enjoy.
And another thing to notice is that a lot of folks within or outside of agricultural industry sometimes think agriculture is excluded from nature itself. Mm-hmm. But when we were in school, we see agricultural land used as agroecosystem, which means that agriculture itself is a part of the ecosystem. And every single choice, whether we're conscious or not, of the impact of the choice has an impact on the nature and on the ecosystem. And ecosystem is so interesting. I think Anna and I can talk hours on
it. Yes.
And I would sit here and just listen to the conversation.
You know, it's beautiful because it's ever changing and ever growing. And a lot of the times, it's an interesting thing to work with the nature and think like a planet to actually come up with these conservation practices, because we didn't come up with them out of nowhere, right? It's a lot of times trying to learn from the nature and trying to work with the nature, and throughout time, lessons actually come from the environment around us.
We were talking about it on our morning show this morning, that acidic berries are making this huge comeback and everything, and how helpful they are and beneficial they are to the body. And we knew this like 10,000 years ago. Like, we already knew this, and we're just now kind of reusing them again, or just relearning this information. So much of this is right there for us. This planet was built literally for anything you could possibly need or think or whatever, and it's so vital that we take care of it. It's so vital that we keep it. I love the moon. I love looking at the moon. I have no idea what the real estate is like over there. I don't know if they even have radio stations on the moon. I don't know if I can find a job. I like it here. I like it here. I think we make this work. I think it seems like a pretty good idea to me to try to make this planet as solid and strong as we can, not only for us, but for the kids, and every other generation after that. But it can, I imagine, in, I think a lot of people deal with this too. You hear this conversation, you think of this subject. My God, is that huge? That's big. How do I help with that? What can I do to fix that? I'm one person. I want to help. What can I do to help? Are there suggestions? Are there things we can tell people that would, hey, you know, this is a good idea to quit doing this, or to at least look into this? I know we touched on fertilizers and some other things. Is there anything else that maybe we haven't touched on?
You know, the big thing to me is education about it. If you're curious, call somebody, you know, call Golong or I, look, Google, granted, like, be careful what you Google, you know, but so go to reliable sources. UW Extension has a ton of resources on how you can change your impacts, become part of a watershed community, or become part of just some kind of community resource that ensures that your impacts are lessened, right? And just be hopeful about it, right? Just be hopeful about the outlook of the future and knowing, like, not one of us is going to change the future of, you know, conservation or natural resources. It's going to take a whole, right? So don't think you have to tackle it by yourself. I've been in your shoes, man. It is tough. You can't take that approach. Just rely on your community and advocate for those resources. Advocate for your water quality. But first, I think the most important thing is to educate yourself about the things that you're curious about when it comes to natural resources to make sure that you're reducing your impacts.
And to add on to that, I think a first good step is to try to be open-minded, right? Because a lot of education that Anna just touched on, it comes with open mind. Like, if you come into the conversation already fixated on your ideas, then we're not gonna go anywhere with this conversation. So go in with the open mind, and Anna and I and educators like ourselves will help you and we'll work with you, because to be honest, we don't know the silver bullet. And honestly, there might not be a silver bullet to a lot of these problems. And we believe that it's a combination of the community force and different management practices, like reducing nitrogen fertilizer rate or using conservation practices within agriculture fields. A combination of these forces will eventually lead us to a better place. And to be honest, I don't think we will reach there very soon, but time is just a magical thing, right?
Yeah, time is a flat circle. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Since the pandemic, time doesn't matter anymore. Nobody really knows what day it is. Nobody really does.
Yeah. But you know, in the bright future, we would like to believe that we would hope together we can solve this issue with everybody's input and hope for the better generations that's coming down the line.
Like most things in life, we get through this together, you know, and having each other's back and having the Earth's back. And cannot thank you guys enough for the time. Anna, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of the stuff we've talked about or reach you, how can they do that?
Yeah, feel free to email me. You can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
It really is a fine last name you have Anna. That is go along. Is there a contact information for you if people have follow-up questions or anything?
Yes, indeed. People can email me as well. My email is GLIANG6@wisc.edu, or you can go to our website, agwater.extension.wisc.edu.
Looking forward to talking with both of you again real soon. Cannot wait. And thank you very much for all that you've done for the community and you keep doing. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much, James.
Well, then more morning.